This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for this one body that you gather here before you. We pray that you will continue to show us the ways and give us the strength to keep us as one, as we use our very gifts for the upbuilding of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to take you back to college today, to the first course I had to take to have a degree in philosophy. The course is called Logic. First thing we learned in logic was a conditional sentence, usually put in terms, if P, then Q. And you learn all sorts of things about this, but the first conclusion that is drawn from it is the converse is not necessarily true. You can't reverse it and say, if Q, then P. Good example. If I am in Boynton Beach, then I am in Florida. True. But I can't reverse it and say, if I am in Florida, then I am in Boynton Beach. Very simple. I could be in Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Key West, Orlando, wherever. The gospel that we just heard, Jesus starts it by saying, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. What is important for us as Christian people is to realize that the converse of that isn't necessarily true. If you keep my commandments, then you love me. We can do a whole lot of stuff. We can look at those Ten Commandments and all the other laws that we are asked to observe, but we could do all that and not have a single ounce of love in our heart. Isn't that what Jesus was objecting to with the scribes and the Pharisees? They had all these laws that they wanted to follow, but they had no love. And so it becomes important for us, as we look at this gospel this week, to start there. It's not just about commandments. It's not just about these things that we do or don't do. It's got a lot to do with the motivation that goes with it. Remember last week, this gospel is a continuation of last week, where we looked at the way, the truth, and the life. And that first part of that we looked at is the way of the boundaries in our spiritual infancy that are created for us by God, just like a parent does. Those commandments, part of those boundaries, part of the start, an important part, but not the completion of our spiritual journey. There is more to it than that. But if you look at this gospel a little closer, later on in the gospel, it sounds like Jesus might be saying that maybe the converse is supposed to be true. Those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. We need to understand everything that's in between. Because in the in-between part of this gospel, he explains how the two are going to go together, because the Holy Spirit is going to be there. The Holy Spirit, the advocate. In other translations, the paraclete. Or in other translations, the counselor. I like that one. What does a counselor do? If it's at school, the counselor is the one that understands what your intellectual gifts are and what you want to do with your career and your professional life, and helps you to live your life in such a way that you can get there. If it's a personal mentor, it's the same kind of a thing. The Holy Spirit as our counselor. Well, the disciples and the apostles have had that counselor. They have had that mentor. It's been Jesus. That is why, as we said last week, they're so confused and upset. What do you mean, Jesus, you're going to leave us and you're going to die? They needed him. They have this perceived need because he's the one who got them into this. He's the one that has led them along the way. And now you're going to leave. What am I going to do now? The Spirit will be there to guide you. I don't know about you in your own lives, but I think all of us, somewhere along the line in our lives, have had somebody special, whether it was a teacher or a counselor, a parent, sometimes even a child or a friend, that we really relied on, that really gave us the direction that we needed, that we could bounce things off of, that we needed to get guidance from, and suddenly they are gone. Whether they move away, whether we graduate from school, whether the parent or the child moves on or dies, and we feel, like Jesus says, orphaned. And he promises us, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. That as you stay on this path, in some way, the Spirit of truth is going to be there for you. Not only to help you to keep those commandments, but also to remain in my love. To do all those three things we talked about last week. To understand what the boundaries are, and that Holy Spirit's going to be there. That if you're up on a further level and you start going out of the bounds, the Holy Spirit's going to be there and say, whoa, hang on, wait a minute. Rethink what you're doing. We take the kids on the pilgrimage. You know, we go over to Iona. Do you know what the Celtic Christians used as their symbol of the Holy Spirit? It's not a dove. It's a wild goose. I love that image. We have all these airy, little, beautiful doves flying around. Well, the wild goose is there, sometimes goosing us in the rear end, telling me, get your rear end in motion. And sometimes we need that because we get to a point where we think, well, because there is love here, because I'm acting in love, I can justify doing a lot of things that are necessarily not the right thing to do. And so the Holy Spirit, the wild goose, is there. But we lose those people. We lose that direction. And Jesus assures us, even though my physical presence will not be there, the Spirit of truth will guide you. That is an awesome promise and a comfort he gives to each one of us. I don't know who that person might be for you that's an example, but for me it's my father, who was my idol. And when Dad died 26 years ago, I didn't know what I was going to do. He was the person who I looked up to more than anything on earth, and he was my guide, he was my mentor, he was my seal of approval on my life, and boom, he's gone. But God guided, God led. And through the Holy Spirit, I moved on, just as all of us move on with that guidance. In whatever way we have that experience, it is just a small portion of the way that God promises to be with each one of us. There are lots of comparisons that we can do to try to get at the heart of this, but I want to share one with you today that is going to make you go back about 16 years, actually longer than that, I think, 1992, to the Barcelona Olympics. There was a man from Great Britain by the name of Derek Redmond. You might remember that name. He was a world-class sprinter from Great Britain. At the age of 19, he had broken the record in Great Britain for running the 400-meter race. His biggest mentor and his biggest fan was his dad. Whenever he was to race, his dad was there. He had qualified for the Olympics before that in Korea, and 10 minutes before the race, he injured his Achilles heel and had to drop out of the Olympics. Can you imagine 10 minutes before the race? He had to have 5 operations over the next 2 years. His dad was there with him. He began training again after that and made it all the way to the Barcelona Olympics, to the semifinals where he had been doing so well, he was now the favorite to win the race. What happened next has come down to us as without a doubt the most memorable thing that happened at those Olympics, and it didn't involve medals. Let's run the tape and you can remember what happened. Cameras are focused on Derek because he was the favorite to win the race. And in his own lane, he was ahead. But suddenly, as he ran, he felt something pop in his leg. He had blown out his hamstring. In pain, he falls to the ground, and he looks up to see the other racers finishing and winning the race, realizing that his Olympic dream is over. But he doesn't give up. He's going to finish the race. And he hobbles. And one by one, the 65,000 people in the stands start to stand up and applaud his courage. And in the midst of all that, someone breaks through security and runs over to join him on the track. He starts to push the person away at first after getting through security, but then the man says, "It's me, Dad." Together, arm in arm, they finished the race. Derek later said that I told him to help me to stay in my lane. And they finish the race together with 65,000 people standing in a club.
Whatever happens, he had to finish, and I was there to help him finish. I intended to go over the line with him. We started this career together, and I think we should finish it together.
We started his career together. I thought we should finish it together, the words of his father. What an amazing example of what it means to have someone who is always going to be there. That's this much of an example to show how much God wants to be there with us and for us. Two more sentences later in this gospel, Jesus is going to say, "My Father and I will make our home with you." He doesn't just want to visit. He doesn't want to just drop by. He wants to be there always. May it be so